BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
I say I'm proud and I'm blessed.
Meet proud mum Jelena Lane, who this week found out her daughter Sunita has just made history, becoming the first black master of an Oxbridge college.
She is Master of Jesus College in Cambridge.
How does that sound?
Well, it sounds weird. It hasn't got home to me yet.
If you think about a state-educated black woman from Walthamstow studying philosophy at Cambridge in the 1980s, and then when you think some 30 years later she becomes the first black head of this college, it feels entirely appropriate, and I have to say I'm very proud of her.
Along the way, Sunita Lane has co-founded one of Britain's most successful radio production companies and sat on the boards of some of the country's top institutions. Her story actually begins 4,000 miles from Britain, in Bridgetown, Barbados. Born there in 1967, the youngest of three children, her big sister, Kelda.
Sunita was the youngest, but she did she was the oldest, you know, so it was always, you know, playing games and working out who wants to lead or who wants to be in charge of an idea, and, you know.
She was bossy then, was she? She was in charge.
She had her moments, but there was always this great smile on her face as well.
Dad Dennis was in the RAF back then, which meant a lot of moving around. So for a while, the children lived in Barbados with their grandparents.
My granddad, he raised chickens. There was, you know, banana plants in the back. So it was a great open experience. And we left to come to England when I was four. She was three.
They settled in East London, Sunita Lane bringing some Caribbean spirit with her, says partner James McCarthy.
I think that Caribbean influence is very strong in her, that there are no pre-existing networks. You have to create your own way within the country. You have to work twice as hard to get anywhere. So the work ethos is really strong. Her mum, Julene, would work nights in Homerton Hospital. Her dad worked incredibly hard. And that ethos is passed on to Sunita and her sister and her brother.
We would improvise quite a bit. Maybe use like cardboard boxes to make doll's houses. And I think she always wanted a doll's house. So we'd like come back to it and keep adding things and adding things till it turns into a little tiny princess palace.
By the time she got to infant school, Sunita was flying high. The first in her class to learn to read. She devoured books, says her mum, Julene.
At one stage, she was doing so much. I said, look, go and write a story of what you read, which she did.
She wrote her own story?
Yeah. I said, you read a book, go and write the story.
Another big passion was music.
My dad would play old blues tracks and R&B and that sort of thing in the background. So that was part of our everyday upbringing, really. We all started playing the violin quite young. She wanted to play the cello, but the school just had a violin. We played in the borough orchestra together, and she quickly changed to the viola as a one step up closer towards the cello.
She always seemed in a hurry to get things done, says Sister Kelda, refusing to wait until she was 16, as she was told to get her ears pierced.
One day at 14, she came home and turned her head around in front of myself and my mum, and she got her ears pierced. She just thought, the time's right. Yeah.
So she's a bit of a rebel then?
She has her moments.
Her mum wasn't amused.
She just showed me ears. I pretend I didn't see it. So she just come up to me, showed me ears. I ignored it.
She might have been annoying her mum at home, but at school she was impressing the teachers. Leighton Senior High School for Girls had a high number of children from disadvantaged backgrounds. It was a school where parent expectations were often low. But economics teacher Gerald O'Connell saw something special in Sunita Lane.
She had an interesting habit of asking very profound questions.
He encouraged her to aim high.
I lent her a copy of Bertrand Russell's book, Problems of Philosophy. I think that was a little bit of a light bulb moment for her.
He told her parents he thought she should study philosophy at Cambridge.
They were surprised to hear that. They were also fascinated, I think, by the possibility, and very quickly became a great source of encouragement to her. I actually contacted my old Cambridge college, Fitzwilliam, and just kind of nagged them to give her a good long interview, so that her real potential would have a chance to come out. She sailed through it.
Three pupils from the school went to Cambridge that year. Sharon White was one of them. She's not done too badly either. She's now chief executive of the media regulator Ofcom. The pair are still good friends.
I remember having a dress which I got made for myself, which we ended up sharing. And I think I went to some very sort of traditional ball and Sunita used the same purple silk frock to have rather more interesting nocturnal adventures, I think, than I did.
At Cambridge, Sunita joined a band called Mr. Creosote. Here they are, Sunita's on guitar. She sang too. She was the university's anti-racism officer and, according to her college magazine, took part in massive water fights in a corridor and was hauled up before the dean for keeping a traffic cone in her room. Students, eh? She also got into fly fishing and fine dining, apparently. Her friends joking that she spent a fortune on gourmet food.
She'll phone. So when I pick the phone up, she'll say, send me a cheque. So I had to get out of my bed, go to the post office, and send a cheque by express. Honestly, and I'm working hard at night. Oh, boy.
After graduating with a philosophy degree and an overdraft, she moved back to London and got work selling life insurance.
That didn't last long. She was in sales for 2 weeks, and she quickly realised that cold calling wasn't a direction that caused that much joy, should I say, in terms of her outlook, which is not surprising, having studied philosophy, and you know, I'm sure she's had lots of fun at Cambridge, so it just wasn't for her.
So she plumped for music instead, got a job at a jazz magazine, then new radio station Jazz FM, becoming friends with one of its young DJs, Jez Nelson.
I joined there as a presenter. Sunita joined as information officer working in PR. So we kind of connected very quickly with a couple of other people as people there in our 20s who were passionate about jazz, but slightly sort of naughty kids up the back.
She was there 2 years, had progressed to trainee producer when new owners came in, revamped the station and got rid of them both. They weren't out of work long, mind.
The moment we got made redundant, literally the next day, we went to NatWest Bank on the Edgware Road and each of us put £500 of our savings into an account and said, let's start a business.
They called it Something Else, named after an album by the American saxophonist Cannonball Adderley. Great record. But unlike the album, the business got off on the wrong note.
In the first stage, we sort of sat in a damp office above a kebab shop in Camden with a cash box and stared at the phone and waited for it to ring. And it didn't for quite a while.
So they created their own projects, like...
Let's go and set up a radio station for the Edinburgh Festival. Largely driven by Sunita from a kind of entrepreneurial point of view and me from a creative point of view, we sort of jumped on a plane, went to Edinburgh and somehow managed to raise the funds to set up a radio station.
You had big names taking part in that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous looking back at what the lineup for Festival FM was. I mean, we had Graham Norton, we had Joe Brand doing a show, Mark Lamar, Mark Thomas, Steve Coogan, Mel and Sue...
To help raise money for the new business, Sunita Elaine started putting on gigs, throwing massive networking parties with best friend Lynn Champion.
It was a very exciting time because everything was changing and there was music everywhere. London was just coming up, you know, in terms of underground music and R&B and jazz. It was brilliant. Everything was liberated. She and I got a gigantic house in Stoke Newington Church Street before it was kind of trendy, and it was kind of a sense of total freedom and 4 stories, I think, of wonderfulness. And Sunita and I used to cook huge meals. She is the best cook ever, Sunita is. She cooks huge roasts and have loads of people around.
One of them was then jazz writer James McCarthy. He'd been friends with Elaine for a couple of years, part of the same Hoxton set. Then one night, steady yourselves, fireworks.
She rang me one time. She was having a party on Bonfire Night along with her housemate Lynn. About 500 people packed into the house. Food, it was planting rice, peas, as well as great sounds. You got it! You got it! You got it! You got it! I know you got some! I remember about 4 o'clock just dancing in the downstairs room, looking across, and the DJ dropped Bobby Bird, I Know You Got Soul, and just seeing everybody dancing and singing at the same time. And Sunita and I kind of bumped into each other and started to dance, and it was the night that changed my life.
They've been together ever since and now have a 14-year-old son. At work, Sunita Elaine helped turn Something Else into something big, making radio programmes for, among others, the BBC, including Radio 4. In 2001, she got a government role, appointed to the board of the Culture Department. Its permanent undersecretary at the time, Dame Sue Street, was impressed by her contribution.
Sunita very quietly but very emphatically stopped me and talked about the implications of health and safety in a small production company. And she had a whole catalogue of, you have got to take this seriously, because if you don't set the lead, none of the other bodies will take it seriously. And it did transform how a big Department of State thought about the impact of its policies on individuals.
Not all her ideas have worked, says Jez Nelson.
One of Sunita's great strengths is her single-mindedness. That is also sometimes an obstacle to working with other people. The early days of digital radio, we set up a station that was supposed to sell music, but it was really at the time of the internet revolution when everyone was starting to buy music on Amazon. No one wanted to buy CDs by calling up a radio station, and that's the idea that she had. And she backed it to the nth degree and convinced everyone, but it was not a success and ended up being a kind of tricky situation for us. But, you know, that was parallel to other decisions that she made and things that she backed that kept us alive at many scary times, as all small businesses have.
The two eventually parted company, Sunita Elaine stepping down as CEO of something else in 2009 to concentrate on a series of other boardroom roles. Over the past decade, she's been a member of the BBC's governing body, worked for the Mayor of London on Olympic legacy projects, set up an online service helping school pupils make career decisions. She's chaired the British Board of Film Classification and been governor of the Museum of London. Her friend and Ofcom boss, Sharon White.
If you look at the boards she's been involved in, I mean, they all have a very, very strong social purpose around them. So whether it's the activities she's done around education, whether it's some of the regeneration in East London, very, very close both to our heart, but also proximity to where we grew up. She brings both integrity and authenticity.
Jez Nelson again.
It was evident from day one that she was ambitious, and I think she's been very good and very kind of clever at realising that ambition by making the right kind of connections along the way. She also has this sort of steely thing running through her, which gives her a sort of determination to succeed. But also sometimes I think if you kind of get on the wrong side of her, then that can be tricky.
I learned fairly quickly to read her body language so you can work out where you are by how she's standing.
Her partner, James McCarthy.
And if she's standing with her thumbs down, then she's in a really good mood, especially if both hands are on hips and both thumbs are down. And if she's got one thumb up, or even worse, two thumbs up, then she's in not a bad mood, but something's on her mind which is quite serious, so it's probably best to either leave the room, or if two thumbs are up, maybe just step out of the house for 10 minutes and let everything settle down.
In October, Sunita Elaine will begin the latest chapter of her career, Master of Jesus College, Cambridge. Her sister Kelda was one of the first she called with news of her appointment.
She actually FaceTimed me. I was actually screaming down the phone with excitement, and she's had this massive beam over her face. I've actually screenshot that moment, so I've got that for posterity.
While Sunita and her family are celebrating her latest success, partner James McCarthy says she'll use the new role to push for change.
As a black woman in Britain, she understands the frustrations and disappointments. She understands what it's like to walk in a room and have people kind of prejudge. And so she works very strongly to overturn those preconceptions people have.
A former teacher, Gerald O'Connell, the man who first set Sunita Elaine on her path to Cambridge more than 30 years ago, agrees.
She will be a role model. It might make a lot of, particularly girls from ethnically diverse backgrounds, rather more comfortable about applying to Cambridge, which will be a good thing. I suspect that her appointment won't be the last of its type.
Thank you for listening to Profile. The presenter was Mark Coles, and the programme was produced by Ben Carter. You can download and listen to plenty of other documentaries in this strand. Subscribe to Profile on BBC Sounds and don't miss the next episode.